Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. I read verse 6 as text verse for the sermon. John 21, verse 6. I will read as follows. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. The theme for the sermon is the abundance of the Lord. We have 3 points of attention. The first point, the disciples failing in fishing. The second point, the Lord asking and providing. And the third point, to see the work of the Lord. So the theme is the abundance of the Lord. 3 points. The disciples failing and in fishing, the Lord asking and providing, and to see the work of the Lord. Congregation, there were 2 men, and they had to perform a certain task. And those 2 men were different. So the one of them thought that he could do it. He was so confident about that he was able to do it that he immediately started to do this difficult thing. And he tried hard. But the other one was not sure about that and was looking around for help. And then he saw, oh, there are instructions written how I have to do this. And so he followed carefully all the instructions, step by step. And he succeeded to do this thing that was so hard and difficult. While the other one worked and tried and failed. Well, he also could read the instructions, but he didn't look for help. He was so sure and confident, I can do this thing. But he could not. So this confidence was a hindrance for him. And isn't that true also in the ministry, that we can have such a confidence without looking to the Lord in humble prayer for his guidance, his help and his blessing, the light of his Spirit? That's true if we are in the offices. It's also true if we are not in the offices, if we are Christians, and then also have a duty and a task in this world and in this life to live to the glory of God and depending on Him. It's against our nature. It's against our nature. We are so inclined to try to help ourselves. And then to feel good about ourselves, we made it. And to feel proud about it, that's our nature. But the Lord is going to teach the disciples a lesson. So important. Before he is sending them into this world to proclaim the gospel, he's going to meet with them after he has risen from the dead. And he's going to teach them. You could say, and we say it with reverence, he was going to provide them a manual how to do this ministry. I have experienced many times that they had to do a job, and you probably have experienced it too, and you bought a new tool, and you started to do it, and then you get stuck. It doesn't work. So what did you do next? Then you looked in the box, oh, there's a manual, and then you started to read. You thought, I can do it, or you were too lazy. And so the Lord Jesus knows that the disciples cannot do it. And in his mercy and goodness, he's going to teach them a lesson in a way that they will never forget it. So let's see how that happens. And it's also important for us. The disciples, at least 7 of them, are in Galilee. Many of them came from Galilee, we know that. And so, why are they there? Because the Lord Jesus told after his resurrection that they had to go there and that he would meet them in Galilee. So they are here and they are waiting, waiting for the Lord Jesus. And while they are waiting, then Peter is saying, well, I go to fish. I go for a fishing. And then the other disciples say, well, we go with you. And they all knew how to do that. They were fishermen. It's kind of remarkable that the Lord Jesus called so many of his disciples from being a fisherman to become fishers of men. And so they go. They go fishing. And some commentaries would say, and some people would think, well, that was wrong. They were called for the ministry, so they shouldn't turn back to their previous occupation. I'm not sure about that. I don't think so, because Paul, while he was called to the ministry, he would also use time to provide living by making tents. And so why would it be wrong that while they were waiting, they would use their time in a good way to provide a living? And then they go and they start to do this work. We see it before us. They're kind of eager to do it. We understand that they were skilled. They had done it for many years. They were strong and experienced. And so there they go. They go in a ship and they start to do this fishing. And they knew the best time is the night, so that's what they use. Because during the day, the fish would go to deeper water and could not easily be reached by the nets of the fishermen. And they start to work. They cast a net in the sea. And they draw it in again. Oh, there's nothing. Oh, we try again. And they do it again. And they work and they work and again and again. And nothing. The whole night. That whole dark night, they catch nothing. They work, they toil, they sweat. Can you see the frustration on their faces? Can you imagine how they have felt to work the whole night? And just simply nothing. How is this possible? And so then at a certain moment, they see the night is almost over, they just quit. The morning is there. The best time is gone. They're so disappointed. They have nothing. And that could be your situation. That I do not mean literally in fishing, but it could be that you experience that in your life. Such a dark night in your life. There's such a deep disappointment that you experience. You feel frustration in your heart. And you have so many questions. Why do things go the way they go? Why do I not succeed? Why are things so hard for me? And then Satan could be there and whisper in your ears or in your heart, the Lord is against you. The Lord is not helping you. No, there's no favor from God for you. Of course not. Do you not remember who you are? Do you not remember how you have lived? Do you not see your sins? And then it's not only dark in the circumstances, but also dark in your heart. Why? Is God against me? Was God against the disciples? No, he was not. The Lord had called them and was going to send them to preach the gospel. No, the Lord was blessing them. Blessing them? They caught nothing. Yes. And the Lord was blessing them in this way by providing a lesson in their lives. They had to learn the lesson of perseverance, even in the darkest of the night. The lesson of faith, when you wouldn't see fruit of patience, to trust the Lord and to continue to trust the Lord, to simply obey His calling and cast the net in the sea. And even if it seems like it's useless, there's no fruit, there's no result, then to persevere and depend on the Lord. Oh, how many times did they have such a dark night? Was it maybe for that reason that the Lord Jesus called fishermen to labor in His vineyard, to go out in this world full of darkness and resistance in the hearts of people, to proclaim the gospel and to persist, to continue? Yeah, so the casting of the net in the sea to catch fish is a beautiful picture, you could say, a beautiful illustration of preaching the gospel to catch people in the net of the gospel, to catch people, to bring them to Christ, to cast the net in the sea of this world in preaching the gospel of free grace. That's what they are called to do. What does it mean to cast the net of the gospel in this world? I thought about those nets, although I grew up at a farm and I'm not a son of a fisherman, but I thought those nets, they have those ropes or lines, and they're knit together in a way that, yeah, if you have only lines in one direction, that would not catch any fish. But there are those lines in two directions, and they are knit together. I thought, is that not what happens in the preaching? That we have to preach the law and the gospel, and that in that way the Holy Spirit is drawing people to Christ. That we need the net in preaching the word, not just the law. People might be touched by that rope of the law, but if there's not a gospel, they will not be caught to be drawn to Christ. Not just the gospel, because if there's not the sharpness of the law, they will not see their need, their sin, and their guilt before a holy God. The need to be washed by the blood of Christ. So we have to cast the net in preaching law and gospel. What does it mean? What does it mean to be caught in the net of the preaching of the gospel? How does it work? Maybe you struggle with that question. I hear all those terms. I hear people talking about it. And I'm sitting here and I wonder what's going to happen, what should happen in my life. You might be confused, young people or children, adults. Let's try to understand it better. Isn't this the way the Lord is working? That when the word of God is preached, in all honesty, in all clarity, it is showing our situation. It's showing who we are before God. What do you mean, who we are? Well, that we are fallen human beings, that we are sinful, that our heart is depraved. What do you mean? I live a decent life. Well, let's talk about the selfishness that we all have in our hearts, that we always put ourselves in the center. It's about me and me and me. And so that's against what God's purpose is with our lives. It should all be about Him, our Creator. And we have turned away from Him. So we are caught in that selfishness and that sin. Did you see that? Did you hear that in the preaching of the word? Because we are so inclined to close our ears. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I want to feel good about myself. And that's deceiving yourself. You have to see reality. The sin of selfishness. The sin of pride. I'm so good. I'm better than other people. I have so many talents. I'm this and I'm that and I know this and I... Pride. It's such a sin before God. It's such a hindrance to come to Christ, to be helped, to be saved. That's what we hear in the Word. We see it in all those histories. The Word is so honest. It does not hide the sin of David or Abram or Jacob or whoever it might be. Scripture is honest. And so then you should see that's about me. No more about my neighbor. This is something my neighbor should remember, should listen to. No, it's about me. That we hear in the Word who we are, the sharpness of God's law, who we should be, and we are not. And God is holy, and so we deserve His wrath. But then also hear in the preaching of the Word the riches of the gospel, that God sent His Son in this world, and that Christ lived a perfect, obedient life like I should do and I do not. And that causes sorrow in my heart. He did. And not only that, He also paid the price in dying on the cross, which I could never pay. If I would have to pay for my sins, it would take all eternity and it would never be finished. Eternal punishment. Those two realities, oh, who I am, but also who Christ is. When you hear that, and that the Lord by His Spirit is using that to work faith in your heart, that you believe it, this is true about me. And this is true about Christ, so that you surrender to Him. That's to be caught in the net of the gospel. You cannot escape anymore. And that is such a blessed thing. To find forgiveness and peace with God. So the disciples are called to do this work. To preach the gospel. And they would meet darkness, dark nights. They would meet resistance, hard hearts. But they should continue. And the Lord Jesus teaching them that they cannot do it. That they fail in fishing. Like they fail here in this dark night. If it would depend on them, it would be fruitless. So that they would learn this lesson. And would never forget this manual. Oh, you have to depend on the Lord. If the Lord will not build a house, in vain they labor. If the Lord will not, by the power of His Spirit, incline the hearts to that repentance and faith in Christ, there will be no fruit. But there will be fruit, because it is according to His plan, counsel, and word. And so they have to go with hope, but not in themselves, but hope in Christ. Here they fail the whole night. Our second thought is the Lord asking and providing. They might have thought, where's the Lord? Why does this happen? Is it wrong what we do? Is the Lord against us? Oh, now we read something in this history. When they quit, when they just give up, then something they see someone standing there on the shore, and they don't know who it is. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. How long had he been there? They were working and trying the whole night. And it feels like the Lord has forgotten about them. Is that what you feel? But look, there he's standing. How long has he been standing there? He didn't forget about them. He knew everything about them. And also about you. You that experience darkness, helplessness, disappointment. Maybe in a spiritual way. Young people, adults, maybe you experience that you are so helpless, so weak. Maybe there's someone sitting here, a boy, a girl, fighting against sin. You try to change your life, to improve your life. Oh, if I could only change this in my life. If I could only live a better life. Oh, you're so disappointed. You fail. It doesn't work out. I'm so weak. I try and I try. How many times did you try? And nothing. No success. No change. And then you think, well, it's useless. Why am I still going to church? I've been sitting there for years and there's no change. Maybe, probably, now I'm sure, you look in the wrong direction. You look to self. You think, oh, if I could change this in my life. And you cannot. You should have known that. Did the Lord not say that? Does the Lord not say it in his word? Oh, that's so against our nature. I cannot accept that. That I cannot. That I am that helpless and weak and depraved sinner before God. And that I have nothing in my hands to offer him. And it's simply reality. So this night, they had to come to an end with all their possibilities. They simply could not. It was hard for those fishermen. And it's hard for you. You have to come to an end with yourself. And you fight against it with all your might. You try and you try. And oh, look up. Someone is standing there. Disciples, someone is standing there on the shore. It is the Lord Jesus. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Why not? Why do they not know it? They had walked with him for 3 years. Maybe the light of the morning was not so clear yet. Maybe there was a morning fog that was hindering the sight. Maybe their eyes were kept. Or should we say, a lack of faith? Should they not have remembered that he had spoken, that he would meet them in Galilee? So they could have expected him. But they knew not that it was Jesus. What about you? You don't see it. I tried. I do not see it. So isn't it a lack of faith? Did you not hear the word that Christ came to save sinners, the ungodly, those that are helpless and powerless in themselves? You've heard it many times. But did you receive it by faith in your heart? Was it applied? It's about me. Did you embrace the truth? Did you fall before it? Or was it too hard? Was your heart too proud? Still try to help yourself. Are you in the dark night? Well, listen to this history. There was going to be a new morning where they would experience abundance provided by Christ. Oh, there is a new morning. Oh, that you would see him. For all those that see him and hear his voice and obey his voice. Because the Lord Jesus is going to speak to them. Then Jesus said unto them, Oh, what a kind words. Children, have ye any meat? Just a simple question, isn't it? Very kind, the way he is speaking. Children, and they have to answer. There has to be an answer. There has to be an answer tonight. The Lord is speaking to you through his word. Isn't it always the same question? Wasn't it the same question in paradise? Adam, Eve, where are you? Where are you? Did you hide? Did you try to cover yourself? It's always that question pointed to your heart. Where you are, who you are, so that you would acknowledge it, what you have. Yeah, they have to answer. And they answered him, no. You hear the disappointment? Difficult for experienced fishermen to acknowledge that they had tried the whole night, and now in the morning they have nothing. And they had to come to that point. You have to come to that point. Lord, I have nothing. I have nothing. Lord, I cannot boast in anything. Lord, is there a way for me? Oh, Lord, be merciful unto me to be saved by grace. Isn't that the most simple, easy way? It's totally a gift of God. That's what we believe. That's what we confess with the canons of Dort and with the Word of God. And with the Heidelberg Catechism, it's all a gift of God. So why would you perish? Why would anybody here be in darkness? Pastor, it is not that easy. If you would know my struggle, it's like I'm standing before a wall. Why is it so hard? What is a hindrance? What is that wall? It is the wall of your sin. You should not blame God. No, but Pastor, it is his work. Yes, it is. It is his work. But God is working through the means. And when you hear his word, did you really hear it? Pastor, but I cannot change my heart. Can I give myself faith? I know it's a gift from God. But listen. How do you feel about the fact that you don't have faith? I mean, do you see that that is such an offense of God? That you would not trust him? He who is so trustworthy, he never lies. He's God. He's true. And you do not believe his word? You do not trust in his revelation? You do not rest on that foundation of the work of his son? If there's a father here and your child do not trust you, that hurts, isn't it? And we are, well, we have hearts that lie. We are. By nature, we are lying. But it hurts. But do you see the offense against God that you do not believe his word? But how can I change that? Well, I asked the question, do you see it? Yeah, I do see that it is wrong. It is so evil that I doubt God. So, you agree that that is sin? Well, what should you do with sin? You should fall at his feet. Oh, Lord, here I am, a poor sinner with a hard and cold heart and a lack of faith, doubting thee, Lord. And that's where God wants you to be, isn't it? That you become before God who you are, a guilty sinner, nothing to boast in, nothing to offer the Lord. And is there not room for grace? Is that not how God is saving people? That you see, my only hope is His mercy, that He would forgive me for Christ's sake. And that's faith. That's faith. That you become before God who you are. And that you lift up your eyes and your only hope is in His work. And His Son. And His sacrifice. Is it that simple? Yeah. But why is it so hard? Because I'm so proud. So self-sustaining. So self-righteous. I do not want this. I resist it. But you know, God wants people to be saved in this way. And His Spirit is working in an irresistible way. That's why sinners come to Christ to be forgiven. So the Lord is asking this question, and they have to admit, no, we have nothing. And then the Lord is speaking to them. He is taking the lead, and they have to hear His word. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. What? This stranger talking to us, experienced fishermen? We have to obey him? Who is he? But there's something that made them obey, do what he is speaking. And they cast the net, therefore, because of this word. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. How is this possible? It is full. They obeyed his word. Well, this is what they would go to do. Being sent in this world to preach the gospel. He was sending them, and he told them that they should preach the gospel to all nations. And teach them and baptize them. And they simply had to obey. And he would provide. So Christ is asking, do you have any meat? And then he is speaking and providing. It happens on his word. And there's something else that's kind of really surprising, because when they come to the shore, then they find fish. They find fire and fish and bread. Well, so he didn't need any meat. He was asking for it, but he already had it. Isn't there a deep lesson in this? That the Lord is not depending on us. He's not in need of me. He's not in need of you. He is self-sufficient. But he is using the disciples, because he says, bring of the fish which you have now caught. So both are true. The Lord can gather his church without me or without you. But he is using people like tools in his hand. So the Lord is asking and providing. He already had food there. And he was providing a net full of big fishes. Isn't that always the case? It is. Augustine, in the early church, he said it, that we should pray, Lord, provide what thou art demanding, and then demand what thou art providing. So God wants you to have a heart that repents. But you feel, I don't feel that. I'm cold and hard and self-centered. Well, pray, Lord. Confess before the Lord, Lord, this is how my heart is. Oh, Lord, please give me that true humility in my heart to confess before thee who I am. Because that is the work of the Lord. And then you feel like I have a lack of faith. I have so much doubt in my heart. I have so many questions. And all the time I ask, yes, but. and then I'm reasoning against what God is saying, well, confess it before the Lord and pray, Lord, work faith in my heart. Because you need to have faith. That's the way God is saving sinners, but he is providing it. It is his work. Work your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is working you both to will and to work. Isn't that what Scripture is teaching us? So, what a wonder. This is why the chief of sinners can be saved. It's all his work. He will give what he is demanding. He is commanding us to repent, to convert, to turn away from our sins. I cannot do it. They have such a power in my life. I love the pleasure of sin. So cry out to the Lord, and he will incline your heart, and he will draw you to himself, so that sin will lose its grasp and power in your life, that it will be broken, that you will experience freedom like you never experienced before. Something happens when they have that net full of fish. Then all of a sudden, one of the disciples, John, says to Peter, it is the Lord. Did Peter not see that? Peter, why did you not know that? Because something like this happened before in Luke 5. Oh, Peter didn't see it. So John saw it. What can we learn from that? We see that the Lord has given different gifts to people that he has called to labor in his kingdom. If you take John, he's a man of the deep insight. Read his gospel, you will be immediately aware of that. If you take Peter, he's a man of the action. He wants to do. He's the one drawing the net to the shore. He's the one stepping into the water to go to the Lord Jesus. And we need both. We need the people who think more and have deeper insights. We need the people who do. Otherwise, the time might be past that they had the opportunity. What a blessing. So don't compare yourself to others. As a pastor, as an office bearer, as a Christian, don't think, oh, if I was only like him or her, then I could be useful. No, God in his wisdom has given different gifts and talents so that they together would be his church and body. God is providing. I have a question. I have a question tonight. Are you caught in the net of the gospel? Maybe you say, I don't want to. I want to be free. You don't understand. There's no freedom if you don't know Christ. Well, I want to do my own thing. I want to live my own life. Maybe you think that. I understand that. It's such a mistake. You know, if you follow the desire of your own heart, you are not free at all. You are a slave, and there's no worse slave master than your sinful heart. It's never enough. And ultimately, it will destroy you. So freedom is only to be found in the knowledge of Christ. When you're caught by the net of the gospel, then you will be free. Like a fish has to be in the water, and man has to know Christ. Otherwise, there's no life. There's no freedom. There's no peace. I don't understand that. Well, let me try again. If you don't know Christ, you're your own king, your own master. But you're not able. You're not able to control yourself, to discipline yourself. You have to admit that. So, let's say you have a business and you're not able to run the business. You make a mess of it. So you have a pile of bills on your desk. You're so in darkness. Then someone comes in and says, well, let me help you. I will take over your business with everything that it belongs to it, all the bills. Would you not be very happy? Here is someone who's able to do this. And that burden is taken away. Well, that happens when Christ is entering your life, washing you from sin, but also to rule your life, to guide and lead you. And then you experience a joy, a peace, and a freedom. Well, Pastor, there's a battle. There's a warfare. That's right. But you know, in His strength, you will have victory. No, not in your own strength. And that's painful. But in His strength, the disciples had to learn that lesson, and you too, and me too. So our last thought is to see the work of the Lord. It's so important that we see the work of the Lord. When they come to land, they see the fish there. They see that Christ was not in need of them, but had everything. We should see that as well, that everything we need is provided by Him. In abundance. You need understanding of the word. Well, cry to the Lord. Christ is not only a priest, but also a prophet, a teacher, to teach you, to show you, to give you insight. You need strength. You need help to resist the temptation of sin. Well, cry to the Lord. You need forgiveness of your sins. Well, cry to the Lord. It's all in Him. So there will never be a chance if you stay away from the Lord. If you think, I could only come to Christ if I would be better. No, it's all in Him. And the Lord wants us to see it so that we will honor Him and give Him the glory and the praise. So Peter is drawing the net to the shore. And then there's a miracle, because another miracle, because the net is not breaking. We know from another situation that the nets were breaking, but here the net is not breaking. And when you read it, it makes you think about what happens in the preaching of the word, where people are drawn to Christ, the net will not break. None of those that are drawn by the power of the preaching of the word will be lost. None of those that fall at the feet of Christ, being convinced of their need, will be lost. Christ says, none of them will be plucked out of my hands. Why not? Because it is according to God's eternal plan and counsel. That's what you learn afterwards. No, there's nothing to boast in myself. It is because God has loved me from eternity. And that is why it will not fail. Although I'm so weak and the lack of faithfulness, it will not fail. The net will not break. Because it is God's work to save sinners. Are you scared because you feel your weakness? Oh, maybe one day I will fall. Like David thought, one day I will fall in the hands of Saul. He will kill me. It didn't happen. Because he had to become king according to God's counsel and plan. So all those that flee to Christ in repentance and faith, they will be saved, because it is God's work. And something else is remarkable in this history. It says the net is full. A multitude of fishes. 153. Great fishes. Great. Well, that's strange. I mean, if you catch fishes, some might be small and you might throw some away. No, here are only great fishes. I thought, that's true. There's also a lesson. A Christ is working in your heart and life. You might feel, I'm weak. I'm not a good Christian. I lack so much. But listen to the word. It says, in Christ, you are righteous, holy, and perfect, acceptable in the eyes of a holy God. All great fishes. No, we are not in ourselves. But for Christ's sake, God looking unto us, unto those that believe, unto me in Christ, is seeing the work of His Son, the righteousness of Christ, and there's nothing lacking. I hope you have that deep joy in your soul, in Him. There is everything and the victory. Although I have a daily battle because of my own weakness, in Christ is everything I need. And then the Lord Jesus says, come and dine. Oh, this is sweet, to sit down with the Lord, to see him. And then his hands sharing the food he had. And they eat. And they enjoy fellowship with him. Isn't that what happens in this life? God's children have dark nights and deep valleys, veils of tears. But also those times that they have fellowship with Christ in such a wonderful way that it makes up for all the struggle and all the darkness. But isn't this what will happen in eternity?